Hello, everyone. This is the Weird World Podcast. We are going to continue with part two with the Paul Fonseca story because I cannot remember his name. Paul Fonseca.
Good job.
I'm Dean.
I'm Emma.
I'm Carrie.
You know, a special guest, Emma, jumping in for part two here. She has been recapped, but for you, the listener, Carrie is going to recap part one right now.
I'll give you a little recap. April 1964, a little bitty baby was kidnapped from his hospital room, his mother's hospital room. He was a day old. This was in Chicago.
Not his father's hospital room. Oddly, his father was also in the hospital with a heart attack at the same time, but they kept the baby with his mom.
This is in Chicago, and there was a very quick, huge reaction by the police and the FBI, and they traced down every lead they could, and he was never found. Until 2 years later, a baby popped up abandoned in Atlantic City, New Jersey. That baby was reunited with the Fronczak family. About 2 years old, they saw him and said, "Of course that's our baby." And then that baby grew up. And when he was, I don't know.
10.
Well, that's right. Okay. He was 10 and he found a bunch of newspaper articles and everything.
He found out that
he had been kidnapped as a baby, and his parents refused to. They acknowledged it and then refused to talk about it, but they did tell him they loved him, and that
that's
was
good.
Kind of
that's
that.
Good.
That's
we will
it.
Not talk about this again. The fact that you were kidnapped,
and then you know he grew up, and I forgot to tell you this part, Dean.
Yes.
We did talk about how he was in a band, and the band said, "Can you move to Arizona?" And he said yes. Before he auditioned for the band, they said, "Can you play Rush songs?"
And what did he say?
He said, "Heck yeah.
What did he play?
I know them all."
Did he play? What instrument? Do you remember?
Guitar.
Which bass lead?
I think bass.
Okay. So he was playing Geddy Lee's bass riffs.
Yes.
More power to him. He couldn't take on Neil Peart's amazing percussion, obviously.
We all know that.
Pretty much one person could do that, and he's dead. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So he loved Rush, and so anyhow, that's how he got that job. That band didn't last long, but then he ended up in Vegas, got married, and he was also an actor, a model and an actor. Fun fact, he was a stand-in for George Clooney in the Ocean's 11 movies.
Oh, really? Shit.
Because they were filmed in Vegas.
Okay.
So when his wife was pregnant, they ask the parents about their medical history, and he kind of then realized, oh, I'm not really sure I know my true medical history. And then so after his baby was born, he decided he was going to try to find out his true identity. So that is where we left off.
And I feel like some amazing reveals are coming up.
I'm anticipating some twists and some turns.
Mm-hmm. Or at least a turn and
there
later
are
a twist.
Several twisty turnies.
And by the way, I like that slogan, by the way. I'm going to now end all phone calls with "love you, shut up."
Love you, shut up.
Okay, so he knew DNA was a thing.
What year is this now? I'm doing my timeline.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You have to tell me to do that.
He likes a timeline.
He was 45.
Okay.
I forgot when he was
what
born.
Year was
that
he
was
born?
In part
64.
One. 64. You want me to do 64 versus 45 all by myself, right here.
What? 2009. What year were you 45?
Don't tell people that.
I don't flippin' know.
She doesn't remember things. Okay, so 2009.
Okay,
I've handled it. Something like that.
I was gonna say you turned 40 when I was
I might be a year old.
So
okay, so 2009. That's when it was. So DNA was very much a thing.
You know what DNA stands for? Emma, tell them.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
Good job. Way to just destroy the joke. The answer was DNA.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry.
I was thinking the real answer, too. So,
so disappointed.
Is that a Simpsons joke?
Very old Stephen Colbert joke.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the next time his parents visited them from Chicago, he and his wife decide. I think they went to church because good Catholics, they go to church every Sunday, rain or shine, even if they're not in their home city. So
find a church.
You find it, or it finds you.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Even in Las Vegas, they have Catholic churches. Who knew? So anyway, he
everyone. I think
it's Sin City, Dean.
I know.
Oh, I guess therefore you need to go to church.
You do.
Okay. So anyway, he and his wife Michelle, they went into his parents' the guest room where his parents were staying.
Shit.
And they took the hair out of their hairbrushes.
They did a secret, they did a, like a police stakeout DNA test that treated him like perps,
and
like
I guess
suspects.
Just stuck him in baggies or whatever.
Damn.
I appreciate it. Game recognizes game.
They're like waiting around until they use a straw and throw it away in a public trash.
But he never did anything with them. I think he, you know, probably felt pretty guilty about it.
Ah, no,
being so underhanded.
They wouldn't talk about his kidnapping. I think I feel fair game.
Yeah.
Well, and then shortly before his parents came for another visit, he happened to be in a pharmacy and he saw DNA kits.
Oh.
And these were the ones that used the saliva samples. Like,
wait,
I don't,
they have DNA kits? Why does it take 6 months for the police to, you know, process a rape
these are
kit?
For like ancestry DNA kits, probably. I'm assuming. I don't know.
23andMe.
Yeah. Okay. Or yeah, they're probably more likely 23andMe because I don't think you can buy ancestry kits at Walgreens. But so anyway, whatever. There were DNA kits there, and so he thought, hey, I'm getting my Advil. I think I'll get some DNA kits. So he buys three DNA kits. And then he's super nervous. This is so, you know, he's like sticks him in a drawer and his parents come for a visit. They're coming to visit, but, you know, they want to see their new granddaughter. So he's super nervous, never brings it up for the majority of the visit. And then literally they're like sitting in the kitchen, probably having breakfast or lunch or whatever, getting ready to take them to the airport. This is how late in the visit it is. And this is when he decides to bring it up.
Nice. That was well timed. That was purposeful.
I know.
By the way, okay, your flight's on almost is boarding now. By the way,
stick this in your swab your cheek, please. But so anyway, he
I wasn't sure how Carrie thought DNA samples were taken for a second there, but okay.
So he decided to bring it up by asking them if they ever thought about whether or not he was really their son, and they said, you know, kind of course. And that, you know, they've thought about it. So then he gets out the tests and he just kind of sprung it on him pretty quickly. And I think they probably just didn't know what to say, but they agreed to do the kits. So he got their saliva samples. I guess those aren't the swabs. These are the ones you have to spit into a tube. And then, you know, he takes him to the airport. Everything's great. He's feeling really good about it. And then a few hours after they got home to Chicago, he gets a phone call from his mom.
Don't do it.
She said they changed their minds. They didn't want to do the test.
I think we know why she changed her mind. I have a guess. I won't say it now.
Well, she said they didn't want to know. Mm. You know, if he wasn't, yes, they've thought about it. It's possible he's not their son, but they don't want to know if he is or not.
I get it.
I 100% get it.
It doesn't matter to them, you know?
He could have done an Am I Your Child reveal with balloons. I don't know what the color is, but he could have done that, or like some kind of like guns or fireworks or something like that.
Yeah, created a natural disaster.
Something like that. Something that could hurt people.
Yeah. Well, so he has their samples. Hmm. I mean, it's not like they took them with them and they were going to send them in. So he's got the samples and he's kind of torn. Yeah. Do I send them in anyway?
You know,
disregard their wishes? And and then if I 100% would. Send them in and then what do I do with the results? Then how am I going to tell them basically that I disregarded your wishes and sent them in?
You don't tell them.
So he carries them around for a while, I think. And then
that's not safe.
He decides, I just got to do it. So he sends them in.
Puts them in the sun on top of the dashboard.
Yeah.
Oh, here this tells what kind of tests they were. Never heard of them. Identigen.
Oh, wow. Well, you were right the first time. You said, here, stick this in because these are butthole DNA tests. And you have to actually take them from. You guys didn't know that? Identigene, that's their method.
Yeah,
and it's considered pretty accurate.
The business didn't really thrive.
No, it didn't do well for that reason.
Well, so.
It was a big ask. Mom, Dad.
He sends them in and probably, you know, 6 weeks later, he's at work and he gets a phone call. And he sees, you know, on the caller ID, it's Identigene. And they tell him that it's a 100% certainty that he is not the biological child.
I saw that coming.
Of Chester and Dora Fronczak.
And I think Dora knew, and that fed her
desire
not to know because she didn't know.
Yeah.
He had blue eyes and they both had brown eyes or some shit.
He was the only white kid with sickle cell. He was not really white.
He was unseasonably tan.
He was all the time.
He didn't he did not look like his parents, and he did not look like his brother.
Do we have pictures?
Yeah.
Are we going to picture? Okay.
Yeah.
On the social media.
We can post pictures. Right. Said he's not a crier, but he sat at his desk and cried.
Oh. So I would cry.
He didn't
know. He would have cried either way, probably.
No. Yeah, I bet he would have. Maybe like, tears I'm of sure joy. Now.
Well, he probably wasn't. Now, he's still his parents. They still raised him. It's kind of like when Superman found out he's an alien from Krypton.
You know what? Yes.
They still exactly. raised him there in Kansas. Mom, Pa, Kent, I want to say. I don't know the first name.
Martha.
Well, speaking wow. of which, and some. He grew up kind of obsessed with aliens and the paranormal. And
oh, interesting.
So that he has an X-Files tattoo.
Oh.
And he always.
And he liked Rush. Is he me?
I know.
Are you guys best friends?
Oh, we might be.
You could stand in for George Clooney, too.
Wow.
No, you would stand in for Matt Damon. He would
probably,
be Clooney.
Probably.
He has prematurely gray hair, too.
She's now she's
prematurely.
Kinda, she had a kind of compliment you, there, but now she's
you're
really,
not prematurely gray.
You're devolving.
You're
here,
not
Carrie.
Premature.
You should probably move on, Carrie.
Well, why are you so gray and I'm not?
Oh, my God.
This is a good question.
You know, we're not related, so I don't know why you think that's a weird
hey,
thing.
Hey, husband, who I have no genetic similarities to.
I know, but I would like all my hair to be silver.
Yeah.
I feel like it's never
like
going to be.
I like purple, too.
Well, you can make, I could make
oh
it lavender.
Oh, my God, this is not about Carrie's hair. Let's go.
So anyway, he really was torn. Didn't know how he should tell his parents. Didn't know if he should tell his parents. He decides not to.
Since they said no, I would not.
Exactly.
I would just keep that to myself.
Exactly. Since they said they didn't want to know, he's not going to tell them. Mm-hmm. He said he would have if it turned out he was their biological child. Because then obviously that's...
I know you said no, but...
Yeah. But...
Guess
turns
what?
Out you're from Krypton too.
But he knows he needs to keep on... investigating to find out who he really is. So this is not, like we said, an ancestry or 23andMe DNA
it's
test
identity.
Where he's going to get.
It's the butthole one.
Yeah.
Butthole DNA.
So but also.
They know every butt he's related to.
So it means he doesn't know who he is and he needs to look into that. But it also means what else, Dean?
On their family tree, they just show butts?
No.
Tell me again. Ask me again. I'm going to get this. Go ahead.
This means that. He's not the real Paul Fronczak, so he needs to keep investigating to find out who he really is. But what else does it mean?
It means someone else was kidnapped way back in 1964 in Chicago, and that someone else doesn't know he's Paul Fronczak, the actual biological
and that
Paul
person is
Fronczak.
Still missing.
Well, I mean,
we've got a tree here now. We've got two ways to go. How are we going to go here?
Who's the real Paul
Fronczak? Which way are we going to go first?
Well, so he decides we got to find out who he is.
Okay.
That's what he concentrates on first. Because
that's makes sense.
The easiest for him, right? So he thinks... probably the best and quickest and easiest way to do this is to go public. I don't know why he didn't think I'll just do a 23andMe and Ancestry DNA test. But so he did, like I said, he had always been a little bit intrigued by the thought of UFOs landing in aliens. And he always felt a little alien in his family.
That makes sense. They hang together. That's perfect.
That had something to do
with it. This is 2009, 2010-ish at this point, right? What did they have? 23andMe then? Isn't that a little bit newer? And
no, I think it existed. Yeah.
It did? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So he decides to contact a local TV news reporter named George Knapp.
Oh, God.
And do you know who he is?
I know exactly who he is.
He liked him because he had done reports on like Area 51, and so he was big into UFOs and that kind of stuff.
George Knapp was a Las Vegas, just a newsman in Las Vegas, just a regular newsman in Las Vegas. He did some stories on Area 51. He turned into his entire career. He's now a big UFO conspiracy theorist. He's not a journalist any longer.
You know what else he does?
For a long time, he's a complete fraud.
Do you know what else he does?
What?
That you have some sort of opinion about?
What?
Dad has a lot of opinions.
Coast to Coast radio program.
Oh, of course he does. Well, that's in Vegas. That airs in Vegas. Yeah. Tapes in Vegas. So yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
But he didn't originate it, right? It was somebody else. So that guy died, right?
I think he's like the third host of that.
Very conspiracy theory. It's weird.
Coast to Coast, as I've said before, it's just if you have a complete nut job and you want to have them on the phone and let them say whatever they want and nod along as if it's all true, that's the show for you then.
Yeah, it's weird. But He looks and seems like a real
he just is no longer. He sold out. He I can make money from this. I can go. He does the speaking tour of UFOs and he pretends. I doubt he believes a word he says, but
Yeah,
it puts money in the bank.
Well, so I think Paul reached out to him. Oh, he sent him an email. So by now we're in October 2012.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's been a few years.
Okay.
So he sends him an email telling him about his situation. It, literally within 15 minutes, he gets an email back from George Knapp saying, let's meet.
I can write a book about this. This can make money for me. Let's meet.
Not write a book, but do a story. So he's a TV reporter at this time.
Is still. He still? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So George obviously loves this story and wanted to get it on the air as soon as possible and, you know, get it out there and maybe get some leads and try to help find the real Paul. And so for some reason, the story doesn't air until April 25th, 2013. Mm. And Paul still hadn't told his parents.
Oh.
And he's kind of thinking, okay, yeah, this is going to be a local Las Vegas story, but it could get picked up by some national news stations. So I got to tell them before the story airs.
Yeah.
Because even if it doesn't, somebody they know might see it and
so
say something.
The story
to
basically is sort of a human interest story. It's like local man is actually.
Doesn't know who he is.
Doesn't know who he was. He thought he was this kidnapped kid. Mm-hmm. He turns out he's not. Okay. Yes. Well, that's an interesting story.
It is a very interesting story. Yeah. I remember it from the time.
I see. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
Oh, I do.
I didn't see it on Las Vegas TV, but
no,
it was
really tuned into this when I was in fourth grade.
It became
that's right. You lived in Vegas
story.
For a while in fourth grade.
I did. I had a stint.
So anyway, the day before it aired, he sent his parents an email because he thought if I call them, it's putting them on the spot.
Yeah.
And they're going to react. He wanted to give them time to process the information. And then he thought, okay, they'll read the email. They'll process it. They'll be very angry with me. And then they'll call me and we'll talk it out.
So at this point, though, it's not just I went ahead and turned those into the DNA. It's now I also aired the story on the news.
And that was going to be the hardest thing probably for his parents.
Yeah.
So he thought they'd, you know, call him the next day or maybe, you know, a
they
couple
never
days.
They called him again.
For 4 days the story aired, they hadn't called. And
but it took them that long to open the email, Karen. They weren't young.
Well, then finally his mom calls and, you know, how could you do this to us? You're ruining our lives kind of thing. And then she ends up dropping the phone. She's so upset. And then his dad picked it up and just calmly said into the phone, you're an asshole, and hung up.
Wow.
Yikes. That's not very nice.
No, but you know, it is a little bit of a dick move what he did.
Sure, but you have a conversation.
The going public part is a dick move.
Yes.
I agree the going public would make me probably pretty upset as a parent, but don't you...
Not me.
Well,
Carrie,
Mom, you accept
Carrie
everything.
Wishes you guys weren't her real biological children. She would feel so relieved.
But if I had a kid and I knew this kid probably wasn't mine because of a freak... crazy situation that happened when he was a baby. Mm-hmm. You'd have to understand on a human level wanting to know who your real parents are.
Yeah, but
are
that doesn't mean go
no,
public.
Doesn't mean you need to go public, but like to just say you're an asshole, not be, sit down and have like a human conversation about it is.
I absolutely understand his parents' feelings.
Yeah,
and I understand that just because I feel differently does not invalidate somebody else's feelings.
Wow, that was well done. That's very tactful.
That was a politician.
Not interest. Everybody has to do the things that I do. So anyway, the day after... What?
I don't know.
We were just making faces.
The day... They're making faces about
me. No, not about you. Not about you at all.
Kind of about
me. No, it wasn't about
her.
Okay,
anywho. The day after the show aired, then Paul goes on the radio show, Coast to Coast.
Really? Coast to Coast.
How does his thing have any... Are they trying to tie, hey, maybe he was an... alien child, and are aliens kidnapped the child back in 1960 with the real Paul Fronczek? Where we're going to find him? Probably on another planet.
No, but they are asking for the public's help in
solving
two mysteries.
That just seems a very strange.
More ears, more eyes and ears on
it. Coast to coast.
That's all.
Both coasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Yeah. So anyhow, the story started to get lots of national attention, just like they thought it would, and they started getting calls from like Matt Lauer and Barbara Walters, and so he's like. Good Morning America. Everybody's doing this story. And then they all want to interview him too, and they all want to do a show about it. He and his wife are trying to figure out
who to go to.
Who do we respond to?
All of them.
His wife, honestly, was not all in with this.
Really?
Yeah. She was uncomfortable with a lot of it too. I think she probably thought he should have respected his parents' wishes, mm-hmm. but she also didn't like the attention. And she also, it was hard on their marriage and their family because he was spending an awful lot of time on this stuff.
A little bit obsessed with
it. He was very obsessed with it. He would come home from work and then he would spend hours in the evening doing DNA, you know, I don't know what he was doing, to be honest, but
crazy shit.
She felt he just wasn't present in their family life.
She left him voicemail, just said, "You're an asshole.
You're an asshole." Click.
But she was doing her best to be supportive. But she had her own feelings, which I understand too. But so anyway,
Karen understands everybody's feelings.
They go on the 2020. Barbara Walters does
the ABC version of 60 Minutes.
Yeah, she does a 2020 show, and supposedly it was a very well watched show.
Okay. People watched it very well. The skill in watching that show at that time was through the roof.
Well, they ended up doing a follow up, so they actually did two episodes on his story. And so after that, then of course, reporters are camping out at their house and probably doing the same thing to his parents.
Oh man.
Damn,
yeah.
That's not
fucked.
Cool.
And his parents are not talking to him now.
No.
They're very, very upset.
Other than to once a day leave a message that
you're
just
an
says,
you're an asshole. Because it, you know, obviously this is bringing back old trauma for them too,
for sure.
About the
and
actual
again,
kidnapping.
She didn't, like I said, I will bet you money his mom knew. The circumstances around when they went to Atlantic City, when they went to New Jersey to see the child, that were fairly indicative that she, you know, she really wanted that to be her child, and she had to have severe.
And we'll talk about that later too. So then they get a call from the FBI. And obviously, if he is not the real Paul Fronczak, then that closed kidnapping case from almost 50 years earlier is not a, it's now
it's
just
open.
A cold case.
So
it's not
quite open now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, interestingly, the agent that called him, her name is Laura Richardson. I don't know if she's the Laura Richardson.
I don't know who
you've
the
never
Laura
heard
Richardson
of her,
is.
But
who's Laura Richardson?
She's actually from England, and she worked with like Scotland Yard, and she's very well credentialed. And I'm pretty sure she worked with the U.S. FBI at some point. Not sure if that's her. There, Laura Richardson is a fairly common name, and I didn't bother to look
like
it up.
I know like four Laura Richardson
because it doesn't matter. So anyhow, basically wanting to talk to him, and they actually wanted to do another DNA test. They need their own FBI proof that he's not their biological child. So they go through all that, and then obviously there's discussion about whether or not they're going to reopen the case if he's definitely not Paul. So they do that, and then also because it was so old, you think, oh well, all those records have to be destroyed, right? Well, it turned out they had boxes and boxes, obviously, of all the leads and everything. Well, they had been sent to some basement somewhere, and they were scheduled to be destroyed. And then, I don't know, somebody just lost the paperwork or whatever. So, they still existed.
Got misplaced.
they didn't get destroyed.
They really need to digitize all that stuff.
Yeah,
get rid of the...
In June of 2013, they announced that they found the files. And then in August, they officially reopened the Paul Fronczak kidnapping case. It was the oldest kidnapping cold case ever to be reopened in U.S. history.
Damn.
That is, 50 years have been closed and then reopened. That's amazing.
I know. Yep. Because you reported on the oldest kidnapping case that was never closed. That wasn't kidnapping.
That was just in New York City.
That was just
the
oldest
missing
person. Missing person.
The Lindbergh baby.
Not the Lindbergh
baby. It's actually still open. They're still looking for him.
Yeah. It's for sure not open. They found him.
So he...
I don't know. Maybe it's Paul Frank. That's good.
Fronczak.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. The timing doesn't work quite well, right? But
So he's being inundated probably, you know, by phone, by internet, email, all that kind of stuff. Well, he got a Facebook message from Cece Moore... Who
that name I have heard of.
We all know is. Do you know who she is, Emma?
She's a DNA maestro.
She
is. What does that
mean? A genetic genealogist.
Oh, cool.
So she helps.
Really? You're okay with that, but I say DNA maestro. You're like, what does that mean? But your mom says genetic genealogist, whatever.
DNA maestro could mean a plethora of things. She reined it in a little bit.
Did you just try to use the word plethora there?
I use that word all the time. I actually got bullied for using that word in an eighth grade project.
I'm going to bully you now for the...
she quite often helps people find, like adoptees, find their biological families and stuff like that. And
occasionally, and she finds a murderer.
Yeah, she also works with law enforcement. I don't know. Was she involved? She absolutely was involved in finding the Golden State Killer.
Carrie had a journey there. She started out not knowing.
Was she actually? You know what?
I think. Let me find the evidence. Yes, the evidence turns out she was.
She was
involved.
Actually involved in finding the Lindbergh baby,
and she's from our old home area of Southern California.
Good for her.
Orange County.
Yes.
So she sends him a message on Facebook saying, you know, I think I can help you. Please contact me.
First, do you want to be friends?
Hey.
Well.
Do you want to hang out?
As we all know with Facebook, when you're getting messages from people you're not friends with, they're hard to find. Sometimes you never see them, or you may see them 7 years later.
As a decent human being and is therefore not on Facebook, I would not know that.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yes.
Oh, aren't you so cool? Yeah. You're not on Facebook.
Actually, I am.
So I think he did see it, but he had no. He was like, "You, what's a genetic genealogist? I don't know
what
who
the
is
freak?
This person."
What the flip?
Yeah. So he just kind of backburnered, and he just never got around to contacting her.
He's Google blowing it? Off CeCe Moore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he wouldn't have if he had known.
No.
She's like,
no.
I'm doing you a favor, bro.
No, he's stupid. Because if I really wanted to find out who I was and someone said, hey, I'm a
genetic genealogist.
Yeah. Those two words would make me go, huh, she could maybe help me. Let me respond. Oh, I don't know who CeCe Moore is. I don't care.
Wow,
I don't know.
Is that what he sounds like to you?
Yeah, now he does. Okay. That's silly.
Well,
that's reckless, Paul.
Wow. Okay. So he gets a call from somebody from Ancestry.com.
Okay.
And they wanted to send him a test. And, you know, like we have a huge database of DNA samples, you know, do this free test. They're $100. So that was nice.
It's going to get some huge publicity for them. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, this is obviously, you know.
He gave us all them for Christmas once.
Oh, but I get them. I got when
she
they were
stole
on sale.
Them. Five finger discount. Free.
Like very often before Christmas. And like, before Christmas, they go on sale.
Okay,
and then they're half price.
I was going to say, what?
She brought a big purse with her. Loose fitting pants.
Anyway, Ancestry DNA offers to help him as well, which is obviously very nice of them. But he also wants Ancestry to help find the real Paul, and he's going to need his parents' cooperation
with
this.
He's making demands now.
Mm-hmm. You
can help me on this, but I'm going to need a favor from you.
And so they tell him, you know, we need Fronczak DNA to do that. And
that would be his parents.
He knew his parents had given samples. Like, they gave samples to the FBI. Mm. Well, obviously, the FBI isn't going to share DNA with Ancestry.com. It has to come from the person.
I'm not so sure about that.
Now they're going to follow him around and wait till they use a straw and throw it away in a public trash?
No.
Damn it.
Because you can't use that kind of... Remember, you have to have spit in a tube.
Has to be butthole.
I don't remember. It's even worse now. It had to be pee hole DNA. Yeah, it's a bigger ask.
And he knew his parents wouldn't cooperate either, so he decided to try his brother Dave.
Oh, but they were not on speaking. Were they still strained at this point?
I think they were a little bit strained.
Okay,
but
they had a hair pulling incident in part one, and they haven't been talking.
So you're not my real brother.
They kind of came together. His brother visited him one time, and he had a motorcycle, and you know, so he took him for a ride on the motorcycle because their personalities were very different. You know, Paul was the adventurous musician.
Yeah.
You know,
like Rush,
girl crazy, that kind of guy, and
kind of like Jesse from Full House. You know,
yes, and Dave, his
Dave
brother
was
Dave,
a motorcycle riding homosexual.
No, Paul had the motorcycle.
Oh, Paul had the motorcycle.
Dave was more like his parents, and you know, he
was a priest.
Was a bit disapproving of his brother's hijinks in their.
I think I say hygiene.
You
childhood
dirty.
And stuff. And so during this visit, they kind of came together.
That's
and
nice.
I don't know if it was this visit or if it was later. His brother came out to him, told him he was gay. And
oh my God, I called it.
Oh my God,
I didn't even know that.
Paul said,
"That's pretty good gaydar."
You know, fine with me, kind of thing.
Well, good for Paul. And but did he also suggest he have that Coke with a straw?
No.
Oh.
And then, interestingly enough, when Dave told his parents he was gay, his parents did not speak to him for like a year or two.
Other than to say,
so,
you're an asshole.
Yes. So
his approval probably meant a lot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, I don't know if the parents are talking to Dave again or not, but so Paul calls him and tells him about the news story, and Dave was a little bit more supportive of what Paul was doing, and the fact that he was trying to find his real brother was also
he's and to piss off his parents
motivation
he's now
for
mad
him.
At so he said I'm glad to do it.
So he did agree to provide a DNA sample, and then he changed his mind.
Wow.
Because
these Franzaks.
He talked to his parents.
Oh, don't talk
so
to
so they
parents.
Probably rebonded over the fact that Paul's an asshole who's not our real family member and going against everybody's wishes.
You're gay and for sure going to hell, but Paul's an asshole.
Paul's
all right?
Too, like, okay.
So Dave gets mad after talking to their parents, obviously, and they don't talk for like 3 years.
Dave and
Dave
Paul?
And Paul, yeah.
Wow.
Because he's mad. Like, how could you do this to mom and dad? The kidnapping was so traumatic for them, and now that it's bringing everything back up, and I'm sure that's how the conversation went.
Carrie just did a whole, that's a skit.
So Paul gets his ancestry DNA.
He ended every sentence with an up note, too. He's really mad at mom and dad.
So Paul gets his ancestry DNA ethnicity results back, which is what you first get.
Okay, he's
half Venezuelan.
No, he's
Romanian.
Very white, but he's European.
He's almost too white.
He's got some Jewish.
He's Jewish.
And he's also got a tiny bit of Asian and African.
Asian and African?
Yeah.
What
interesting.
In the world?
Interesting.
And there's also a possible cousin match.
A cousin match? I'm not sure what that means.
But
it sounds gross.
It's probably like a 4th to 6th cousin or something like that.
Oh, so they found a cousin.
Yeah.
A distant,
someone
distant
else
cousin.
Yes. He was related to had done ancestry.
And is on. Okay, got it.
I have a bunch of cousins on ancestry.
And it's very hard to work back from that distant of a cousin relationship. Because you go back, you share, you and your first cousin share grandparents.
Yeah.
You and your second cousins share great-grandparents.
In this case, it went back to Moses.
Yeah.
It was
so it's
helpful.
Hard when it's great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, because then there's that many grandparent couples that you have to choose from, right?
You have to investigate, theoretically.
And then you have to find a current-day descendant of that possible great-grandparent couple to test and see if you match. So it's very difficult. So this is what C.C. Moore does.
As a rabbi, he spent time in Africa and Japan.
So,
I would zero in on that person.
So there is a distant cousin. It's a woman, and she's not close enough, but a close enough match to be super helpful. But she had done a lot of research into her family tree, and she agreed to help him with what she knew about her family tree, which is helpful. And he also gets contacted by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children because
they're looking for a missing child.
They have interest in the real Paul Franczak case. And also, they do help people like him. He's called an unknown living person.
Yeah.
So he's a victim.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he also has parents out there.
Yeah, he was abandoned.
Lost him when he was a small child or abandoned him or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he could have been kidnapped
himself,
and left there. Yeah. So they want his DNA also. So he's
okay. Because we know where he was found. He was found on the streets of Newark and so on. So, okay.
Yeah. I think it was
Newark. He was found in Newark.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Outside of a swinky department store.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Mom told me that.
So he sends in his DNA sample to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children also, because they have a database. But that's only helpful if he has a biological relative who is looking for him.
Oh.
They have gone to him saying, whatever family member went missing in 1965 or whatever year it was. So anyway, it's worth doing anyway.
I'm not good at family trees. I go as far as first cousin. After that, I'm very confused.
Do you have first cousins?
I do, but but I don't get it.
Well, I don't know.
After that point, I'm like, okay, what is a second cousin? What is a twice removed?
I only have first cousins from dad's side. I don't have any first cousins from mom's side.
Correct.
Yeah, well.
I have second cousins and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you know all of your second cousins on my side.
I do.
You know your first cousins. I do,
I do know them.
So anyhow, okay. So he's getting contacted by a lot of people too, saying, claiming they know who
Oh, really?
He is, yeah.
Oh, that's
icky. You know how it goes.
That's well, not this is nice. Still a pretty prominent story.
Yes, and a lot of people genuinely believe it. There's one 13-year-old girl who contacted him, I think, by email or maybe on Facebook, saying, I think my dad is the real Paul Fronczak.
She's whispering into the phone.
Because her grandma, you know, like, they don't know where he came from kind of thing. And there's, like, no baby pictures of him.
Well, that's interesting. There probably is quite a few people out there who have that kind of, they don't know where he came from kind of a thing. But they all can't be Paul Fronczak.
I don't know where I came from.
She explained all the mysteries surrounding her father and the grandma. Like, I think the grandma was living with them. And so he was corresponding with her, and she hadn't told her dad, and then she tells her mom, and her mom is like, oh yeah, I think she might be right, kind of thing. And they end up doing a DNA test, and it's not.
But I thought they were gonna be murdered, and the dad murdered them to keep a secret, and his secret was pretty stunning. I'm not gonna tell you what it was, but go ahead.
No, but as soon as they like asked the grandma, she split. She left
town. Wow.
Yeah, so
okay,
who knows?
She was hiding something.
Yeah.
She may have been a Nazi guard.
She
definitely
was hiding
camp.
Something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that she kidnapped a baby.
I or think she was.
She didn't kidnap Paul Fronczak.
She was part of the Weather Underground and she bombed things in the
60s. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so anyway, he was dealing with that kind of stuff. And
terrorist.
He was so obsessed with his search that, you know, he very much indulged this little girl and had like a relationship.
Did he catfish her?
No.
This is going to turn bad.
Okay. So another person who contacted him was Janet Eckert. Do you remember that last name, Dean?
No.
She was the daughter of the couple who owned the adoption home that he lived in New Jersey after he was found abandoned on the sidewalk.
Oh, that's right. Janet and the parents were
Fred and Claire.
Fred and Claire. The Eckerts. They were very nice.
Yeah.
They were.
Janet, she was a teenager. She was like 16 or 17. And remember when they talked about how he was afraid of their son-in-law, their teen son-in-law?
Yeah.
And I thought, ooh, she was a teen bride and whatever. It seemed weird. He wasn't their son-in-law yet. Oh, okay. He was going to become their son-in-law.
Her boyfriend.
He must have been her boyfriend.
Okay.
But I felt better after I learned that. Phew. So she contacts him and explains who she is. And she tells him her parents are dead now. But
bye.
That's all I wanted to say. She tells him about his time with them, and he was with them for several months.
Yeah.
And she tells him what a special baby he was and how much her parents loved him. They really did. And they wanted to adopt him.
Wow.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
His life is very different.
Yeah.
If
the New Jersey police,
air quote, mom doesn't claim him as hers, he lives probably a pretty decent life in New Jersey with the Eckerts.
And it sounds like he would have had really a wonderful life because they seem like a very wonderful family.
But they might have had secrets like that woman who flew.
Yeah.
The 13-year-old's grandma who took off. Who knows? People have secrets, Carrie. That's all I'm saying.
They didn't. Here's the story. When they told Fred and Claire, we're going to take him to meet the couple whose baby was kidnapped and see if he's their baby. He was just brought in like very little clothes. I don't know what happened to the clothes he was abandoned in because it was a nice little outfit, but whatever. When they brought him to their house, he didn't have that nice set of clothes. So they probably didn't make a lot of money. And so the kids in their care didn't have the nicest of clothes. She saved up a month's worth of her salary so she could buy him a nice little bunch of clothes to send with him to meet the Fronczaks.
She had a big heart.
She really did. She cared about him a lot. She named him Scott McKinley. That was his name when he was with them. Yeah. So anyhow, so that was nice. So he learned all about them. And they had pictures and stuff. So she showed him pictures. So Paul ignored Cece Moore unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
But she had worked with ABC News as probably a DNA consultant and everything like that. So they get in touch with her and they ask her if she could work on the case.
She says, I tried.
I know. So I don't know why ABC couldn't pay her. She said she was working on the case pro bono.
ABC can definitely pay her.
Yeah. Bitches. ABC absolutely should have paid her. So she's able to get his DNA and get it into the three major databases, which are Ancestry DNA, 23andMe, but also he was already an Ancestry DNA, mm-hmm. but 23andMe and then GEDmatch.
Okay.
I'm assuming GEDmatch, or maybe there's one called Family History or something like that.
Sure.
Oh, Family Heritage or something. There's another one that you have to do a separate test for. Through all of this, he gets a match with a guy named Alan Fish as a possible second cousin, which is good because then you just have to go up to great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. So he's the closest match that they'd gotten so far. And then, so they contact him, and he's very willing to help. He's very interested. That's why he submitted his DNA sample, because he's adopted.
Ah,
so he doesn't know
that's not gonna
his
help.
Family either.
Hmm, yeah.
And his adoption records are sealed.
Ah.
So
they know he's a biological relative, a fairly close biological relative of Paul, but he can't help find the real Paul Fronczak.
And see, the good thing is, even with an adopted kid, there is a birth certificate that does list the parents.
Yeah.
But
you
sealed?
Just have to get access to it.
Can the FBI get access to it?
It depends on where you're born. And
I mean, the FBI would want to, because that could help them find this kidnapped child who's now 50 years old.
Yeah.
Well, also, Cece Moore has her own connections and procedures and stuff for this, too. So they do find out through whatever is in his records, his adoption records, that his mother was 16 when she had him. They don't have a name, but they do know that she was from the Philadelphia area, which is interesting. So then they can look at other matches, and you can see matches in common with him and Paul, and you can go on their profiles and stuff like that. And so you can try to narrow it down like that. Although they do eventually get his birth certificate unsealed, and they do get the mother's name, but not a name for the father. So Cece Moore and her, she has a little group of DNA detectives. I'm in the Facebook group.
DNA detectives. I love that.
And they're called Search Angels. So people
search
who
angels.
That's
adorable.
Even cuter. Yeah.
They should have a lapel pin.
They help adoptees find their biological families for free.
It's
they
an
do
angel
it all for free.
With looking through binoculars. Boom. You can have that, Search Angels. It's yours.
Yep. So they're trying to build out a tree for Alan Fish, and they find another match in the Philadelphia area who knows a lot about her family, because her grandfather has told her a million and one stories. Paul is thrilled that there's a real live person in Alan Fish who he is related to, because he's never met anybody he's related to. So they talk on the phone, and they decide to meet up in New York.
Ugh, if he pisses Alan Fish off and Alan Fish just calls him, says, "You're an asshole," and leaves, I'm gonna be pissed off.
He doesn't piss Alan Fish off, but just a couple weeks before he's supposed to go meet Paul, he's not feeling real well. He goes.
Paul's not, or Alan?
Alan.
Okay.
He goes to the doctor, he goes to the hospital or whatever, and he dies.
What?
What?
Yeah.
This is cursed at this
Paul
point.
Paul has very bad luck.
Yeah.
But he has adult kids, or maybe teenagers or whatever, and they discuss it with their mother, and so he has a real nice wife too, and they decide they want to keep going with what their dad was doing, looking for his biological family. So they all go to New York and meet with Paul. So now we're
good news and bad news.
Yeah. So
Alan's dead.
So now we're in the summer, through the spring and summer of 2014. Cece and her Search Angel group,
they're promoting eighth grade.
Good for you.
So proud of myself.
Spending hours and hours and hours on contacting DNA matches for Paul, trying to get access to their family trees and trying to find other people who could possibly test. And they eventually, this all leads them to Alan's father. His name is Lenny Rocco.
Lenny Rocco. How would you not put that in the birth certificate? That's a phenomenal name.
He's from Philadelphia. He was a musician and a singer.
I'm going to say stand-up comedian, too. Nightclub, smoky atmosphere kind of a thing.
Yeah.
No. Philadelphia.
Yeah.
In the 50s and 60s.
He was a swing band.
What's wrong with that?
He's a boxer.
He's a boxer. Oh. Like Carrie's going, Philadelphia, 50s, boxing,
yeah, Rocky.
Obviously.
Rocky.
Okay. Well, first of all, not the 50s.
That was the 70s.
Second of all.
Was like the Cinderella Man.
It's not that.
Was
it that doesn't Philadelphia? Mean Philadelphia. I don't know.
Anyhow.
I don't know either.
So Paul does a deep dive into internet investigation into Lenny Rocco and finds out that he was a musician and he was in this old doo-wop band.
Yeah.
And he had like hit records and stuff. Yeah. And
Lenny and the Rockos?
I don't know what it was. So they contact him. Mm-hmm. Super nice. You know, they say, we think you might be the father of, you know, a man who is connected to this guy who might have been kidnapped as a baby and blah, blah, blah.
He's like, I got a lot of kids I don't know about.
No, but he immediately says, yes. Send me the test.
It must be me.
Send me the test and I'll do it. Okay. And he also said, you know, if I have a son out there, I mean, he had zero clue. And when they said, we think this is the mother, he said, oh, yeah, she lived in my neighborhood. Turns out he was 15. She was 16.
Oh.
She had, somebody told him, this girl has a crush on you. He said their relationship lasted a whole 15 or 20 seconds.
Nice. Jesus Christ.
And then that was it. And he never heard from her again. And so we know what happened.
Okay. Yeah. Well, because 15, 20 seconds, she was
She went, oh.
You know what?
So
I'm good.
So it turns out, yes, he is Alan's father. The sad part is Alan has passed away.
Oh.
But he and Paul get into contact and, you know, they're very friendly. He's a really nice man. So he has information about his family, obviously, because one of his family members must be Paul's father or mother.
Oh, yeah.
So they find out Lenny's grandparents have four children. So these would be his parent and then his aunts and uncles. Their names are Bertha, Jean, Thomas, and David.
Okay.
Thomas is Lenny's father, so he's not Paul's father because then they would be brothers or, the, you know, they would be more closely related. And so it's got to be one of the other three. Lenny says his uncle David was super mean, like mean, evil kind of guy. Mm. So let's hope it's not him. Mm-hmm. He said he could have been a mob hitman.
Woof.
And so that leaves Bertha and Jean.
Bertha and Jean. Jean's a female.
Yes.
Okay.
So he's trying to give them as much help that he can remember. And he said he vaguely remembered that at some point his uncle David had twins and that there was something wrong with these twins and he got rid of them. Mm. Now, C.C. Moore is assuming by get rid of them that he meant put them up for adoption. Mm-hmm. But Lenny said he doesn't know what happened to them, how David got rid of them, but they were told by their parents, like Lenny was told by his parents, don't ever bring it up in the family. It's like one of these big secrets. So they were thinking, because of the generations and the ages of these people, that maybe one of those twins was one of Paul's parents.
Mm.
So they're focusing on David, but they're not getting very far. So then they decide, let's look at Bertha and her line. So they were able to rule out, through DNA, David and his wife Shirley as Paul's grandparents, because they got some person related to Shirley to test. So they found out that Bertha had two sons, Leonard and Gilbert Rosenthal. Leonard is still alive but missing. None of the family members don't know where he is.
A lot of missing people
in this family. Mm-hmm. And Gilbert is dead.
Wait, Leonard Rosenthal is who to what now again?
He would be Lenny Rocco's cousin.
Lenny Rocco's cousin. Got it.
Everyone's missing or dead. Uh-huh. Jesus.
So Gilbert is dead. His other cousin is dead. And so they research Gilbert's obituary. He has three children. The oldest was born in 1961, and the youngest was born in 1965.
Oh, well.
So Paul was born in 1965.
I thought he was born in 64.
Oh, yeah, that's right, 1964. Yes. So unless he'd had an affair, he fathered a child with an extramarital fling, he couldn't be Paul's father.
Okay. So now we're talking Lenny or Leonard.
One of the sisters had already died. Her name is Karen. She died fairly young, but she would be older than Paul. And there were two children from this family still alive that they could try to contact to see if they would test. Linda was the oldest and Fred was the youngest. He would be younger than Paul.
Okay.
They were told by somebody, probably Lenny, Linda's not nice. She'll be difficult.
Yeah.
Don't call her first.
Okay.
So they contacted Fred to see if he would test. Like one of the search angels contacts him. Yeah. He's like, what are you talking about? I don't have a brother. Mm. You know, this is a scam. He's very skeptical.
And his parent was?
Was Gilbert.
Gilbert. Oh.
Who would be Lenny Rocco's first cousin.
Okay.
So Fred's not helpful. they're afraid to contact Linda. So then they find Uncle Leonard, the missing one, mm-hmm. his ex-wife. Her name's Lynn, just to see what she knows, because lots of times, you know, yeah. I know more about your family than you do.
She does. It's true.
Very true.
So they bring up these twins mm-hmm. that Lenny talked about, and she said, oh, yeah, no, those aren't David's twins. They were Gilbert and his wife Marie's twins. Oh. So, yeah, they had those other three children. But
Fred, Linda, and someone else?
Fred, Linda, and Karen.
Karen.
And she said she was pretty sure they were born in October of 62 or 63. Mm. And she said, you know, they had gone and visited and they'd seen the twins one time. And then the next time they go, they're gone.
Hmm. That's so fishy.
They have no idea.
The birth years don't quite work though. Yeah.
No, they don't. And they're all, are you sure? Because, you know, the person we're talking about was born in 1964. And she said, no, I'm positive because I remember it being a big deal because the twins were born on their older sister's birthday.
Okay.
I think it's, I'm assuming it was Linda's birthday.
That's
so
why she's so mad all the time.
And she knows.
The younger kids have,
Because there was a newspaper article written about the fact that, oh, these twins were born on their older sister's birthday. Mm-hmm. So they're all, oh, that's interesting. So
let's
they
go find that.
They track down that newspaper
was
article.
It where are they, Philadelphia?
No, Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So,
not too far for you, the listeners. This doesn't know.
No, not too far.
I don't know. A couple hours.
Yeah, Lenny Rocco is in Philadelphia, but his cousins lived in Atlantic City.
Okay.
So they track down this newspaper article, and if he is one of these twins, then he's older than they thought he was.
Yeah.
And then they think, well, hey, that does make sense because when he was found on the sidewalk, the cop just said he looks about 14 months old.
Yeah, he could have been older.
They really had no idea. Mm. And twins are often born prematurely, and they're often smaller.
So he would have only, if it was 63, not 62, then he'd be less than a year older than they thought he was. So that's not beyond.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Because it was October.
Yeah.
So, and they thought he was born in April of 64. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
64.
He's 6 months older than they thought.
Which is very possible with a twin.
All right.
Multiples are often smaller birth weights. They do trace back Gilbert's wife, Marie. They trace back her ancestry to, there's some Tennessee connection through her father, which connects to Paul. So now they're like, okay, you really may be.
Yeah.
One of these
you have to be
twins.
Almost at that point, he almost has to be. He's so multiple connections.
And this corresponds. This is where he gets his Eastern European Jewish ancestry from.
Yeah, the Rosenthals.
The mother, no, Marie. Oh,
Marie.
I don't know what her last name was. Okay. So he gets a call from C.C. Moore and her DNA detective search angel team. They're on speakerphone and they say to him, "How do you feel about the name Jack?" And he says, "That's a good, strong name. Why? Well, we think that's your name.
You're Jack, bro."
And there's more. And he says,
"Well,
what?
Yeah.
You have a twin sister."
He'd have to, right? If he's the twins.
Damn.
Her name is Jill.
Jack and Jill. Super original. Spot on. Thanks, parents.
And there's
putting
more.
No effort whatsoever
there's
into that.
More.
And there's
what?
More.
They have the triplets?
Jill is missing.
Everybody's missing.
Oh, my God.
They have no idea where Jill is. So now we have a name, Jack Rosenthal.
Jack Rosenthal and Jill Rosenthal, who is missing.
He says he feels like a Jack.
Okay.
Oh, that's sweet.
They're not 100% sure, so they do need to confirm it with DNA.
And they can confirm it with the siblings. They know Linda's not going to help, but maybe Fred will. So if they can get Fred to give DNA, they can confirm it pretty quickly, right?
Correct. So we're going to leave it here. Come back next week.
So we still got to find out if he really is Jack Rosenthal, which it sounds pretty good that he is. Then we got to find out what the hell happened to him to get to that pram in front of the department store in Newark.
Yeah.
And then we're going to find out.
See if we can find
the real Paul Fronczak and where he is. Hopefully we can find it. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome, Dean.
This is good.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the DNA stuff. It's a little over my head, but Carrie gets it.
Well, in doing research for this, I listened to Paul's first book on audiobook.
Don't say something nice about it.
Oh, I'm super happy I did it.
Okay.
Good thing. My main criticism is the person they had read it.
Oh.
He should have read it himself. He has a great voice. He's an actor.
Yeah.
Why would you not read your own book?
I don't know.
He had a ghost. I shouldn't call it a ghostwriter because the person is named, but okay. He wrote it with somebody else, which is good. He's not a writer. He also should have picked a bit different writer.
Wow. Okay. Carrie's going to say, I loved it. It was great. Terribly written and terribly narrated. Otherwise, lovely. Okay. Well, let's stick with the secrets we need to find out in part three. Until then, listeners, we'll see you in a bit.
And bye. Thanks for listening.